Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Jeff Hathorn with you here on a Tuesday night. Joel, I keep wanting to say Monday. These damn Monday night games, I'm off a day, but I'd rather be off a day this way to where Friday gets here quicker, because I'm thinking today is Monday.
Friday will get here quicker, yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
A good way to think about it.
Joined right now by Ray Fittipaldi from the Post-Gazette Steelers beat writer. I don't know if you feel the same way, Ray. Like the entire day, even though we're sitting there at Mike Tomlin, which is always on a Tuesday, I'm thinking, you know, that the week is just off.
No, we're creatures of habit. Last week, different schedule for the Steelers. We're all a day off, and now this week, a short week, so it's definitely different. Yeah, we'll be glad to get through this week and see what happens here. With two games left to go in the regular season rather than three.
Ray, before we get into the Steelers, we were talking to Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Mara Lemieux is in the house, which is a rarity nowadays. Sid is 2 points. When you were growing up, I know you're a football player. Did you ever get to see Mario play, or did you used to watch him play as a kid?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, we used to go to games all the time. Used to sit up in E and F section. So I was actually at the game. I think it was 1988 where he scored 5 goals in 5 different ways.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So for the longest time before I got married and moved, I actually had the ticket stub to that. So if I actually find the ticket stub to that, it might be worth a little bit of money. But yeah, I mean, we used to go to tons of games every single year.
So now that you're married and have kids, you have to say those were the greatest days of your life. Not that.
Correct.
Did you understand what you were seeing? Like that you were watching something that just doesn't ever happen?
Yeah, and I remember, and I think sometimes this still happens. They always used to play the Capitals around New Year's, like either on the road or at home. And we used to get tickets for Christmas to go see the Flyers. And that always used to happen like on New Year's Day or like the day after New Year's Day. So this time of year is especially, I have memories of going to games because we always used to get the tickets in our, you know, our stocking stuffers. Mario was, he was one of a kind. And I know Sid's great and Yager was great, but I kind of felt like I lived through the best years of Penguins hockey.
I've been in a lot of arenas and I like the new arena. Well, I guess it's not so new anymore. There was nothing like the sound at the Igloo when it was packed and jamming.
Yeah.
Like it was deafening in there.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was lucky enough to cover a Stanley Cup final in there before the building got torn down. They lost to the Red Wings, of course, but I covered that final, at least the home games. And, yeah, just a special place.
Did you cover the Eastern Conference final that year?
Yeah. Yeah, who would that have been against that?
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because one of the things I remember about it was when they're blowing Philly out in that game 6, and
yes.
Malkin was not very good at breakaways, and he just decided he skated down, and he wound up from like 20 feet away, and it was just awesome because he hadn't really perfected that, and he just blew one by whoever – whoever couldn't have been Hextall. I don't even know who was in net, but it was that was one of the more fun experiences. The place was going nuts. And, you know, even though it wasn't that long, it's like a new – it's like when the Steelers went back to the Super Bowl, there was a new generation that got to experience something that they only heard stories about.
Yeah, and there was like a newness to it, and like a new cast of characters were doing this, so that was – that was really special too, but like 91 and 92 will always be like the best years for me just because that was the first time they ever did it, and they did it with a flair.
Ray, well, maybe while we were in talking to Mike Tomlin, the Steelers were working out a bunch of people, including a couple of quarterbacks today. I mean, what do you make of Hendon Hooker and Jack Plummer kind of working out? Were they just arms? I mean, what do you think the reasoning would be to work out a couple of quarterbacks?
Well, I think this time of year, you're always looking to sign guys on futures contracts. So you know this as well as I do. As soon as that season ends, Jeff, there's going to be a bunch of guys who are retained on futures contracts, and there's going to be a bunch of guys who, unfortunately, their time is done here, and they have to go about building the 90-man roster for the 2026 offseason. So, you know, there's no major injuries right now with the quarterback group. Actually, Mason is under contract for 2026, Will Howard as well. But, you know, you always need that fourth quarterback to come in and, maybe the guy's a project like a Hendon Hooker would be, or, you know, just somebody else. So, you know, I'm not sure what Skylar Thompson's contract is, but I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from him and, you know, somebody like Hooker or another guy is here to take his place.
I was surprised we did open phones in the first hour. How many people were talking like, why can't the Steelers win the AFC? And AFC championship game is realistic. I'm not saying all of them, but I think, Joel, yeah, the majority of them. What do you think? What have they shown you in these two wins? And are you ready to kind of walk that line right now?
I'm not ready to walk that line, Jeff, but, you know, there were some encouraging signs. And really the style of victory is very much, you know, postseason football-like. They ran the ball well, certainly in the second half. And you have to do that in December and January if you want to move on. And they stopped the run, too. Now, they haven't been consistent doing either of those things all season, but you don't have to be consistent all season. You just got to be consistent for 3 or 4 weeks to make a run in the playoffs. So, and the one other thing, and they honestly didn't do this all season. Yesterday was the first time they ran more plays than the opposition. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You saw Mike go for it 3 times in the first half on fourth down. They retained possession of the football. They ran more plays. That's something they've been wanting to do. So I think that was, a big part of it as well. I'm sure the opponent in the final 3 games is going to have something to do with it, but I thought maybe that was, you know, something they just discovered in that game. You know, you got to gamble a little bit if you want to stay on the field. And I thought the Steelers did a good job of that. I know a lot of those were just 4th-and-1s, and you could say they're quote unquote easy, but not all of them are easy when you go for it on your own 28-yard line either. So that was another positive for me as well.
Ray, we hear the term complimentary football often, but after getting those bookend touchdowns, and you're up now 14-3 after the defense played well in that first half, to get the 3-and-out with the big sack, you know, force them into an obvious passing situation. You get the Metcalf touchdown where, you know, the energy in the building keeps building because of the way that touchdown went down and how he knocked down Dolphins defenders. But then the next series, another 3-and-out with a Peyton Wilson, like, 10-yard sack. Like, that to me is what, where you're sitting there, it's like, okay. Like, this is, I want to see more of it. But that, to the offense, obviously, but the defense also stepped up and made some plays. Maybe not against the greatest offense in the world, but, you know, they had come in running the football really well.
Yeah, I mean, that place was it was like a playoff atmosphere, Jeff. And I thought the Steelers, their play really had a lot to do with that. And what a difference 2 weeks make. You know, after they played Renegade last night, you know, I looked around and, like, the fans were into it. I was like, okay, this is what it used to be like here. Like, it was the first time I really felt that way all season. And, you know, you mentioned the sacks, and the Steelers have really been criticized this year for being old and being slow. And I think a lot of that maybe is still true. But maybe this has something to say for Tua and where he is in his career. But it was like Jalen Ramsey was like the gazelle. Peyton Wilson was like the or the cheetah, and like Tua was like the gazelle. Like he couldn't get away. I mean, it was like the Steelers really had a beat on him, and it was good to see that the Steelers could get home in a different way, not just the outside linebackers doing all the work. It was really a quiet night for, like, I think Alex Highsmith played really well against the run, set the edge. I mean, that was really good. But you look at the stat sheet after the game, 2 tackles. I think Nick Herbig, Jack Sawyer, neither of those guys had more than two tackles. So it was like Peyton Wilson getting a sack, Jalen Ramsey getting a sack. It was really a group effort. And, you know, I thought the defense, you know, you could talk about the garbage time all you want, all the yards and the points they got, but when that game mattered, when they really had to play well, they did. And it was really impressive to watch there for, you know, the first 45 or 50 minutes of that football game.
We're joined by Post-Gazette Steelers beat writer Ray Fittipaldo here on 93.7 The Fan. Peyton Wilson, I was looking up his stats, and I've got to be honest, I didn't realize he was 13th in the NFL in overall tackles. It's been kind of quiet, which may not be a bad thing. What do you think of how Peyton has played this year and how he's come on maybe after some mistakes early in the season?
Yeah, and Malik Harrison the last couple of weeks has been cutting into his stats, and he's still putting up really good numbers. So he's really good as a tackler in the open field. Like, I remember the Bills game. It wasn't a lot, like, to draw from that Bills game, but I remember Peyton Wilson, like, some of those tackles might have been downfield, but he was making a ton of tackles, you know, in that football game. So he showed up every single game. You know, you mentioned some of the struggles early, and I don't pin all of that on Peyton. They did make some changes, and, you know, Cole and Malik have certainly played against these teams late in the season that like to run the football, you know, the Ravens and, you know, all these teams that we've been talking about. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they want to defend the Lions. They've had a lot of success here in this pass game with Malik Harrison playing, but that is a fast track out there at Ford Field. And those backs are really quick too. So maybe this is a game for Malik, or maybe this is a game for Peyton Wilson to get out there and get those snaps he was getting earlier in the season. Just another tough task for the Steelers' run defense. But after two tough weeks against the Bills and the Ravens, you know, I thought they played really, really well against the Dolphins and Devon Achane.
It is a monster game for Detroit. One of the surprises, we've seen the surprises on the AFC side with Mahomes' injury and the Chiefs out, Joe Burrow out, you know, what Lamar has done. But on the NFC side, Detroit's on the outside looking in right now. What do you expect from them, and what do you make of Dan Campbell and as aggressive as he is, especially on fourth down?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think they're probably, I don't want to say they're as good as they were last year, but I was looking at some of the fourth down numbers. I think last year they were up around 66, 67%. The Steelers actually are better this year on fourth down conversion percentage than the Lions are. Now, the Lions still go for it more, but their percentages aren't what they were last year. So maybe the Lions were just a little bit better, like, in the margins last year. That's the reason. You know, they were the number one seed as opposed to where they are now. And, you know, they probably got to run the table to get into the playoffs. And, you know, just, I look at this every year. And you could look at this with the Commanders this year, too. You better take advantage when you have an opportunity. Like, the Lions were really, really good. They had home field advantage last year, and they couldn't get it done. They lost to the Commanders. They might not even make the playoffs. The Commanders were in the NFC Championship game, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, and now they're going to be drafting in the top 10. So, you know, there are teams like the Chiefs who get there year after year after year, and, you know, they're always going to be there. And then there's other teams like the Lions and the Commanders. And when you have that really good seed like the Lions did last season, you better take advantage because you don't always get back. So they're going to be a desperate football team. I still think they have a ton of talent, but they obviously have their warts too, and most of those warts are on defense. So the Steelers, you know, their offense might have another big day here, you know, in Detroit. That Dan Campbell's defense is really struggling right now, and the Steelers have a shot to put up some points there on Sunday afternoon.
Aaron Rodgers has a lot of wins at Ford Field. Obviously, a lot of those Detroit teams weren't as good when he was the Green Bay quarterback. You know, there was talk from Mike today about having a guy like this at that at this time of year where you don't have to explain. Like, yeah. I think the example he said is like, hey, don't throw an incompletion, take a sack. Like, those things you just don't have to tell him. What impact, and I'm thinking, and Tomlin Turb, more globally, do you think that Aaron Rodgers has had on the offense slash organization?
Yeah, I think the last couple of games, Chris, they're taking more chances. They're throwing over the middle of the field. They're throwing deep. So it's almost like, okay, we tried to play a certain way throughout the season. That really wasn't working. Let's turn it loose and let's trust this guy who's done it before to make the right decisions. And Aaron hasn't thrown an interception since that Chargers game, which was 5 weeks ago now. I know Aaron missed the one game, but that's now four consecutive games without an interception. I think it's five out of the last six games that he's played. He hasn't thrown a pick. So not only is he making big plays and pushing the ball down the field, but he's making the right decisions. And, you know, you mentioned that sack. You know, he didn't try to do anything extraordinary there. He knew exactly what he had to do. And, it's just been really impressive to watch. People have kind of gone back and forth on Aaron this year. I thought the first half of the season, people were like, hey, why not bring him back in 2026? And then a little bit of a lull. But I think now we're back to that point that if he wants to, I think the Steelers would have him back for another season. And again, that is probably, you know, something that they're going to have to ponder here just because of that 2026 college quarterback class isn't what a lot of people thought it was going to be.
And two of the top picks are staying in school, or at least who you thought were going to be the top picks in Sellers and Manning. They've decided to make more money in college, which, Ray, you play college football at the wrong time. I know Holy Cross would have funded your kids' college education with what they would have paid you if you would have, you know, been a player right now.
Jeff, we were thrilled on Friday afternoons when we got $8 in a stipend and we could, like, buy a piece of pizza when we got back that night.
$8.
Yeah.
Is that seriously what it was?
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of people would, like, buy batteries for their headsets so they could listen to music. Other people would save it for beer money for over the weekend. Yeah, but one of the assistant coaches would come around with a big envelope, and they would hand you, like, a 5 3/1. That's what it was.
Ooh. 21 years old and drink responsibly, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Wow. Times have changed. Ray, hey, thanks so much for taking time. We'll see you over at the South Side tomorrow.
Thanks, Jeff. Talk to you later.
Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. I want to get into Aaron Rodgers next. Mark Abali's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour and get people's thoughts. I think this has gone better than any single person could have thought it would. Not in the record. I mean, you're 8-6. That's a good record. That's not great. But what he's brought to the organization is so much more than I could have ever imagined in terms of his attitude, the way he handles himself. I want to get your thoughts on what Aaron Rodgers meant, and not just maybe what he means for this year and if he plays next year, but what does he mean going forward for the organization? Has he brought in some new ideas maybe into Mike Tomlin's thought process about things they can do with the offense? We'll get your thoughts on Aaron as we continue. It is a Tuesday night here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff Hathorn with you here on 93.7 The Fan.